would like to start my presentation acknowledging the contribution of the co-authors in this paper. One of them is here seated with me in the audience. And I will also would like to acknowledge the contribution of the prevention research branch who funded and supported the study. I'm going to give you a little overview of the prevalence of cigarette smoking. We are pretty much aware that it's a public health concern, and it is more among kids who are in the high school, as we see by national estimates. But we are going to talk a little bit more in depth about how these youth keep accessing cigarettes and how tobacco control policies have helped to prevent and deter youth to access tobacco control products. There is still, as we can see, a good proportion of stores that keep selling tobacco products to adolescents, and there is over $1 billion in illegal sales. There has been several initiatives. One of them is restricting the access that youth have to tobacco. We are pretty much aware about the age for legal purchase, compliance by vendors, the use of vending machines, and the sale of single cigarettes. All of these have been initiatives that has been developed at the state level, and some local ordinances have put these initiatives in place as well. There's also other initiative that has to do with preventing the non-smoker to the hazards of the smoke, and this has been developed in settings such as restaurants, governments, and private work sites, and schools, to name a few. The purpose of our study was to examine the effect of youth access restrictions and clean door provisions on the cigarette smoking prevalence of school-age children, particularly high school kids. We hypothesize or postulate that youth living in a state with stricter smoking policies will be less likely to smoke compared with a youth living in a state with less strict policies. Let me talk a little bit about the method of the study. We use a nationally representative data set, which is the health behavior in school-age children. We sample 39 states, which yield a total sample of more than 14,000 students were interviewed, and we use an analytical sample of more than 13,000 students. We did not use those that did not answer the question of our dependent variable, the cigarette smoking status. Let's talk a little bit about the measures. We assess cigarette smoking prevalence by asking the student, how often do you smoke tobacco at present? And then we created three categories: those who smoke daily, those who experiment, and those who reported never smoke. I'm going to talk about the youth access restrictions. In particular, we use 9 policies, for this purpose, we use the National Cancer Institute State Cancer Legislative Database that was developed in 1989, and it's a great data set, and you can have public access to this database. And basically what it does is that measured each of these restrictions and assign a score, as you will see in a few minutes, depending on how well the item in each restriction comply with the target. So all these have a target, and then there are some items that basically try to measure if that target is reached or not. We also measured 9 cleaning door air provisions: government work site, private work site, school, childcare facilities, and so on. And we use the same database for that purpose. I want to mention that we use the 1999 data for this purpose, and we give 2 years for these policies to get in place and have an effect. That was what was recommended by the first author, Jimmy Shiriki, to measure 2 years, use the data from 2 years before to see if there's been an effect, given that our database is from 2001. Okay, here we have our rating score, and as I mentioned before, it's based on how closely legislation meets targeted public health objectives as they are reflected in the Healthy People 2010. And there is an ordinal scale that goes from 0 to 5, and it's a little complicated. For me, it was trying to understand that for some states, they might have met criteria for item 0, for example, 0, 3, and 5, because that's how their legislation was set. So it's very important to distinguish that there were some states that for cleaning, for example, private work site, they would meet criteria 0, 3, and 4 because the committee that created this scale didn't found that these particular items were present for this particular piece of legislation. Okay, we consider several covariates that have been associated with cigarette smoking behavior. We can see gender. We did some stratified analysis for high school students. We use parental education, a family affluence scale, which is an indicator of wealth that is only unique of this health behavior survey. Basically, it measures, assess number of rooms in the house, numbers of television, number of times that the family has gone on a vacation. And based on that, we do a summary and we create three categories of low affluence, moderate affluence, and high affluence. And we use race and ethnicity, our traditional groups, Hispanic, white, African American, and we had small numbers for a Pacific Islander and Asian American, so we consolidated in one category, and American Indians. They were all consolidated in one category of other. And then we use a very strong covariate that has been proven to be very effective to deter youth and adults to smoke cigarettes, and it was the price of cigarettes. We run several statistical analyses in order to determine if these variables were correlated, and they were, the policy variables were correlated, so we then determined to enter them independently in logistic regression analysis, and we use a chi-square test to see which variables were going to go to our logistic regression analysis. And from that list of 9 variables in each, I have to tell you that only 3 were significantly associated with the high school kids in chi-square. So those were the ones who enter our logistic regression analysis. And most of them in the Clean Indoor Act were strongly associated with cigarette smoking behavior, as you will see. Here is the sample characteristics of our sample characteristics by cigarette smoking status. As you can see, this is a low risk a sample compared to national estimates that I show you in the first slide. We only had 5% of youth who smoked daily, who reported to you to smoke daily, 10% who reported experimenting, and the majority of them never smoked. That's what they self-reported. As consistent with previous national surveys, we have that more boys smoking daily, more in high school compared to middle school, and we see that in terms of experimenting, the Hispanics are experimenting more compared to whites, and whites are smoking more compared to Hispanic and black, and the category of other is about the same. in terms of parents education, we see that those who smoke that whose parents are less than high school are more likely to smoke daily. Similarly, for experimenting, those who are in the low affluence scale tend to be a daily smoker, and those who the price of cigarette, this is the mean across all states, when the price is low, they are more likely to smoke. Let me show you now the model. We feed one model, and the one of daily versus never. We compare that 5% of kids who smoke versus the 85% who never smoke. And we have in here, what I'm showing to you is the scores. And a zero in all of these means minimal restriction. And the comparison is the higher level. And when you see the yellow asterisk, basically means that after controlling for all our sociodemographic plus cigarettes price, it will still remain significant. And we can see that happening for vending machine, even after controlling for cigarette price and for sociodemographic characteristic, it was still kids who live in states with low or minimal restrictions versus kids who live in higher restrictions were more likely, were twice as likely to be daily smoker when compared to kids who live in states with higher provisions of vending machines, therefore suggesting that there's more access. So this kind of confirmed what other people have published. In terms of the cleaning doors, we found that most of them were highly associated with clearly predict in the way that we were expecting for government worksite, private worksite, which is interesting because you don't expect kids to be working in these settings, but yet there are some people who argue that there are social norms that are reflecting and they are a reflection of cultural and social norms, and basically this is what is driving the significance. And all of these were significantly associated even after controlling for a cigarette price and sociodemographic characteristics. As you can see, we couldn't found, and it was interesting to see a protective effect for smoking in school, at the school level. There is a protective effect for even for kids who live in states where there is some enclosed areas, and we found out that even at that level, it's protecting the kids to be, their kids are less likely to be daily smokers, even when you compare it with a higher level of smoking, and that happens also with penalties. All right, just wrapping up, we found that minimum restriction of provisions or provisions predict daily smoking among youth, which is consistent with previous literature. Cleaning door laws were more predictive of cigarette smoking behavior for high school students. A protective effect was observed for school laws and statewide enforcement. And clean indoor laws provide some social norm that is important to account, and it was evident in the findings. There are some limitations. The designs of our study is cross-sectional. We assess our dependent variable by only asking the student this unique item. We didn't ask the student, how do you access cigarette? We don't know if there is a ban in the family, how the family has the rules in terms of smoking. If there are parents who smoke, the survey doesn't ask that kind of questions. I think there is still important to eliminate tobacco sales, indeed, to minors. We definitely need to advocate for law enforcement. We need to keep advocating for merchant compliance with these laws to reduce illegal sales of tobacco to adolescents. And definitely it seems that we need more prevention intervention for high school students. And thank you so much for your attention.